Good morning. Welcome to Bethany Lutheran in Warren, Oregon. Today I'm preaching from the 13th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart, that is, what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, India, died as a well-known, world-known figure. But who would have ever thought that she would have attained such influence when she first began? She was a tiny woman who began with the most meager of resources. Mother Teresa told her superiors, "I have 3 pennies and a dream from God to build an orphanage." "Mother Teresa," said her superiors, "you can't build an orphanage with 3 pennies. With 3 pennies, you can't do anything." "I know," she said, smiling, "but with God and 3 pennies, I can do anything." Mother Teresa understood the principle of the seed. It takes very little when blessed by God for a miracle to occur. Today, our gospel text is about sowing seeds. Now, if you've ever planted a seed, you understand that a tiny seed can produce wonders, be it a carrot or a marigold or a 6-foot corn stalk or a maple tree. But the potential growth of any seed depends a lot on the soil where it is planted. In our parable, we read of a sower, that is, a farmer who is planting seed in a most wasteful manner. He walks along a path by his field and just throws his seed with no concern for where it lands. Now, in those days, seeds were planted by scattering by hand rather than being planted deliberately. However, even when scattering seed, a farmer is going to take care as to where that seed is going to land. He's not going to waste his precious seed. After all, it's all he has to feed his family and his livestock. But some of the farmer's seeds land on the soil that has been prepared for planting. But most of it lands among the thorns, on rocky ground, or even on the hard-packed path. Now, because this is a parable, we know there is kingdom symbolism that we need to explore. And because most of us have heard this parable several times over the years of attending church, we know that God is the sower, the extravagant sower. And the seed is the good news of God's kingdom. The soil situations represent the kinds of responses people have to the call of the kingdom. For some, their hearts are hardened like a hard-packed path. The seed lays on the path until the birds devour it. Others are more like rocky soil. There are cracks and openings here and there where the seeds can germinate and start to grow, but there's not enough soil, enough nutrients to sustain the growth, and the seedling quickly withers and dies. The third soil is where the seed sprouts and grows, but it faces competition for the soil. The thorns and weeds choke out the new plants, and they die. The good soil is easy to understand. It's where seeds are planted, watered, and nourished so they can produce a good crop. It's easy for us churchgoers to look at these different soils, these different situations out there in the world. However, we need to remove our rose-tinted glasses and realize that each of these situations are right here in the church, in us at one time or another. We come to church, we read our Bibles and pray, we prepare and tend our hearts to be receptive to God's direction. Through the steady nourishment of the Word of God and receiving the living water of Christ, our spirit life grows and we flourish in God's kingdom on earth, ideally. In reality, this is true some of the time. And some of the time, we refuse to allow the seed to grow. Life kicks us around the same as it does non-believers. And sometimes we long-time believers become bitter and disillusioned. We blame God for our sorrows or blame him for not protecting us from life's blows. We allow our hearts to harden. And then the evil one snatches away the seed, laying on that hardened heart, and encourages us to stay parched and hardened. Maybe we accept the Lord into our hearts, but we do not take time to nourish the new faith. There are too many hours at work. The kids' soccer tournaments are always on Sundays. You know, weekends we always go to the lake cabin. And it does not take long for that burst of faith to wither and fade away. Perhaps we leapt for joy when we first heard the word of God. We latched onto its promises. We became faithful church people, but we never set aside our sin of choice. We still like to party hardy in the wrong ways. We did not give up our racial bias, or we sneak peeks at inappropriate internet sites. And oh boy, do we still enjoy a good gossip session with our friends. We do not want the kingdom of God to challenge our views or lifestyles. And eventually, these weeds choke out our life of faith. God, as our sower, has extravagant generosity. He gives out seeds of faith and potential blessings to all, regardless of the condition of their soil. We in the community of faith need to be open to having our hearts and spirits plowed up and loosened up, to having our rocky places removed and our shallowness deepened, to have our cares and anxieties plucked out and space cleared for new growth. Verse 23, but as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Greek word translated as understands indicates an understanding that is not just cognitive. This understanding means that there's a change in action and our way of being. Our change is to bear fruit, to grow the kingdom by spreading the good news of Christ Jesus. Now, we let the good news sink in deep and take hold in our hearts. And if we do, it will change our lives. If our lives do not demonstrate change, they indicate that part of us has been held back. We have not totally surrendered to our Lord. A sower went out to sow, and he is still going out to sow. His word still speaks and creates life. In John 20, verse 21, Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." The sower now sends others out to sow as well. So why do we not go out and scatter the seeds of the word of the kingdom? Do you think that you are not articulate enough or do not know enough? Do you doubt if you're qualified enough or convincing enough? The seed which is sown has the same life in it, the same potential, whether spoken by Jesus or by the one sent in his name. And Jesus sent every one of us. He told his followers to witness and baptize, that more would become his followers. Recently, I read the following, and it sounded so Lutheran to me. In a monastery that trained young Christian brothers for various callings within the church, one brother lived in constant fear for being called upon to preach a sermon in the chapel. His apprehension grew with each passing day, until finally he decided to approach the director of the monastery with a proposition. "Sir," he said, "I'm willing to do any menial job that you assign to me. I would be delighted to go out into the fields and plow, fertilize, and irrigate them by hand to increase the productivity. Just say the word and I will get down on my hands and knees and scrub the floors of the monastery or clean the lavatories. I would be honored to polish the silverware, paint the window frames, or cut wood for the fire. I am willing and able to do whatever tasks you might ask of me. My only request is that you do not ask me to preach a sermon in the chapel." Feeling quite good about getting this out in the open, the young brother let out a big breath and settled back on his heels. The director, however, looked at the young man and decided that a preaching assignment was exactly what he needed. "Tomorrow," the director told him, "you are to conduct the chapel service and preach the sermon." The next day, nervous and awkward, the brother stood in the pulpit and looked out into the eyes of his peers. Not quite sure what to do, he simply asked, "Brothers, do you know what I am going to say?" They all shook their heads in the negative. He continued, "Neither do I. Let's stand for the benediction. Peace be with you." It's time to get past, "I don't know what to say." We have freely and abundantly received, so we should freely and abundantly give. The word has not been given to us to remain a private, personal possession. It is given to us so that we can continue sowing. And so we continue our discipleship training. Last week, your assignment was to continue praying for your list of names and to say your faith statement out loud to one safe person of your choice. Your assignment this week is to say your faith statement to more believers. Ask them why their faith is important to them, and then tell them why your faith is important to you. You can do this right after Bible study, quilting with friends, at men's coffee time, at lunch with a friend, etc. Though you may wonder about Jesus' wisdom and using us as his messengers, remember that Jesus promises the end result will be a bumper crop. Let us pray. Lord God, we seek to please you, to serve you in word and deed. Give us the confidence of a warrior in your holy army to go forth boldly and serve our Lord by sharing the good news. Amen.